Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
My name's Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on Earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too go goofy for goofy, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice, the fan who's currently thinking about or maybe planning your first trip to Walt Disney World, and your plans so far are a bit more Epcot than Epcot, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times and some top tips, like this week's guest, Cam, who's got a top tip when it comes to flying the Millennium Falcon over at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
We really struggled as a couple to get any other role than engineer.
Oh, right.
We had to queue up four times to get opportunity to do any other role.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting the latest news from the parks, and if you're heading over to Orlando for that New Year break, then we'll get you everything that's going on in the parks. Make sure you keep in touch. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are at Pod Magical. This is the most magical podcast on Earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Happy New Year. Hope your Christmas and your New Year was good. Maybe you're currently shopping for that Disney deal for 2020. I hope you've seen some good bargains out there. We've got your questions coming through. If you've got any questions about planning or getting the right thing or things to do when you're at Walt Disney World, any queries, let us know. We're here for you. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Pod Magical. If you want to DM me, that's fine as well. If you don't want to send a public question, that's fine. Gloria wants to know, we're going for 10 days in July. Is Disney Springs worth a visit? Yes, Disney Springs is definitely worth a visit, especially if you are on the dining plan. If you've got free dining as part of your deal, you must go to Disney Springs. That is where you will find some of the best restaurants. Morimoto is a great restaurant. That's a 2-credit at dinner, but if you go at lunchtime, pretty much the same menu, it's only going to cost you 1 credit. That's a great restaurant to go to. And my favourite restaurant in the whole of Walt Disney World, in fact, the whole of the world, is over at Disney Springs, Homecoming. If you like fried chicken and donuts, go for it. Try it. So Disney Springs, yes, it's great. Maybe having a bit of a chilled day out, you want to go, okay, we'll have a pool day, maybe a couple of hours at Disney Springs, get something nice, something a bit more relaxing one day. You must go to Disney Springs. Kirsty has sent me a message. Andy, I've been to Walt Disney World a few times. I always love the Festival of Fantasy Parade, but I always want to know, how do you get to be the family that rides at the beginning of the parade? The Grand Marshal. So just before the parade starts, there will be somebody at the front. They'll go past in a car, waving, usually a lucky family. Usually, if you wait by the entrance of the parade, so where it comes out over in Frontierland, the very start of the parade, that is where they'll pick the family from. So one lucky family, it's just a matter of being in the right place at the right time. You might be picked as you're coming into the park. They might like the look of you. Maybe there's a special occasion that's already been planned. Maybe it's been planned ahead. That is where you get to be the Grand Marshal and at the beginning of the parade. I hope it works for you. I hope to see you, hope to wave to you one day. Also, Ben has sent me a message as well. Looking forward to our trip to Walt Disney World. We're going to be there when the Super Bowl is on. Where are the best places to watch it? Well, the Super Bowl. I think the Super Bowl final is in Miami. So, you know, it's not far from Walt Disney World if you want to go to Miami. Other than that, if you head over to Boardwalk, the Sports Bar and Grill, ESPN Sports Bar and Grill, That's going to be the best place to go. And don't forget, the day after Super Bowl, make sure you're in the Magic Kingdom, because there's a whole big marketing thing that I'm going to Disney World. There's a huge advert that happens with the winners of the Super Bowl that happens that night during like the first ad break after Super Bowl final. Well, the winning team does go to Walt Disney World the day after. So literally the Monday morning, they will be there. And there's like a huge thing at the beginning of the parade. So that's where you need to go. ESPN Sports Bar and Grill to watch Super Bowl, if you really want to watch it, if you can understand it. And then the day after, make sure if at Magic Kingdom, you might see the winning team. Any questions? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical. Same place to go if you want to be a podcast guest. The first guest of 2020 for the new year is Cam, who's a huge fan of Walt Disney World. So tell us why, Cam.
I really think it is just the immersion. Once you're in there, it's the world that's built around you, the sort of assault on your senses from the music, the smells that are pumped out into Main Street. It's just that sort of being transported somewhere else entirely. That you can't quite get anywhere else in the world. And I sort of come from it from being in there as well, but also as someone who's sort of lived around theatre since they were a small kid, I like to look for the seams, where Disney has gone and invented and patented colours to make you not look in those areas. I can't quite help but try and look for those.
Well, Disneyland was built around theatre, wasn't it? The first theme park. Mm-hmm. The fact that you've got the red carpet as you walk in, and the train station is the curtain, and then the castle at the end is the main show. So there's a lot of theatre involved, isn't it?
Oh, it's. I think there's so much hidden in there, and where the hidden doors are. For instance, in Disneyland in California, there is a bulb that is painted red and one half and white on the other at Casey's Corner, because Walt walked down there one day and said, those lights don't quite look even, and got someone to paint it just so it looks perfect, as well as sort of like wandering down Main Street and, you know, spotting Disney family members' names and famous Imagineers who are up on the windows as private detectives all around Main Street, and the forced perspective.
Yeah.
For those tiny little windows that look full size.
The Disney detail is what it is.
It is absolutely the Disney detail. It's just something that I don't think anyone else does quite the same, especially not in the UK. And the other company that has multiple theme parks in Orlando, which we do not dare speak their name, don't quite do it as well. They've started with places like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same in the sort of more general areas of the park, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So how many times have you been over to Walt Disney World, and when was the first time you went?
So I have been six times. The first when I was indeed six in 99 with my mum, aunt and grandma. And we stayed on site, and it was wonderful by all accounts. There were photos that show it was there for the Millennium celebrations already, so they had the Epcot ball with the 2000 around it.
Remember it well.
Problem I have, and sorry Mum if you're listening, I don't remember much of it. I think I was a little too young. I don't like the happiest memory that I have sort of clung on to from that time was playing in the All-Star Music Resort pool, which was the shape of a guitar and still is.
Yeah.
With my mum and aunt. And I don't quite remember that much about the park.
Oh, wow. So how old were you again, sorry?
So I was six.
Six. So yeah, because that's a question that we get quite a lot is, you know, people who've never been before and they've got kids, how young, you know, how old should they be when they go the first time? But you don't remember at the age of six.
We've taken my little brother when he was six as well. And I was 24. We absolutely killed him. Just by trying to take him on our schedule.
Yeah.
And I think that can be an issue with some sort of multi-generational holidays at times.
Yeah, because you, especially in your 20s, you want to be going for it. And he'll be, what, at six, he'll be wanting his nap. And he'll be getting grumpy.
Yes, very much so. And just, you know, it's not until you do that you understand that sort of as a childless adult and you wander around and see kids who are definitely old enough to walk and do things in strollers, you don't realise just how awful it can be until you have one of those children.
Yeah. In fact, tell me, Cam, what was you on your last trip to Walt Disney World? I've heard rumours that you printed up some T-shirts to wear in the parks.
Yes. So a few months back, I'm sure yourself and many of your listeners will have seen on the internet, a post went viral from an American mother who was complaining about childless millennials and calling for a ban of childless adults in Walt Disney World and at Disney parks. So this sort of riled me up a little, and especially my partner, Sarah. So we went to one of our family friends and got childless millennial T-shirts printed to go around the park with. So on one day on our most recent trip in October, we both put on our matching grey T-shirts with childless millennial in the Disney font all the way across it and went around the parks. And it was one of the most illuminating experiences of my life. But you just sort of wander past and see people staring and double taking. We ran into a guy in Blaze Pizza in Disney Springs who came up to us and said, "You guys are the reason Walt Disney World is being ruined. How dare you come here and spend your well-earned money? How dare you practice responsible birth control? I mean, honestly." And wandered off.
Wow.
On the other hand, we had one at the end of the day. This mum, looking tired after a long day, to put it politely, was pushing her child in a pram, just came up, stopped us and said, "Guys, good on you," and pushed the child off in what I can only imagine was to vent a little frustration.
Yeah, I had a similar incident at a bus stop when there was a lady with her little girl who's having a complete breakdown, a complete tantrum, and the woman had a coffee cup and she just looked at me and she went, "Geez, I wish this was beer." So what's your favourite memory from your visits to Walt Disney World?
I think from my second trip I went on, this was the... It brings me right back to being a tiny little kid again, was meeting Mickey at Chef's Mickey's in the Contemporary.
Oh, Chef Mickey's, yeah. Classic.
Yeah, we did the character breakfast there and it was just so much fun. I can't quite put the words together about just how it makes me feel just to think back to those times. And
yeah.
There's Mickey and he came down and sat at the table and was eating Mickey shaped waffles and all that kind of lovely nostalgia.
Yeah, a lot of people say that is the best character buffet to go to is Chef Mickey's. I think it's it's the first one you think of as well.
I think it is, just because it is Mickey as the headliner. There are some very good ones out there. And to be honest, I probably, if I was organising one now, wouldn't prioritise Chef Mickey unless I had children.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of character dining and taking advantage of character dining because it kills so many birds with one stone in terms of... seeing the Fab Five very often, particularly at Hollywood and Vine at Hollywood Studios. I believe that is possibly one of the best uses of your money or dining credits you can do, because you get to see the Fab Five in a holiday appropriate costume, whether it's Halloween or Christmas or spring.
Yeah.
For all the food, all the buffet, and the reserved Fantasmic dining package.
Definitely a good use of a dining credit if you're on the dining plan, definitely.
There's a couple of others that we've done in the past. Garden Grill is absolutely great with the 360 degree rotating restaurant.
Yeah, that's Epcot, isn't it, with Chip and Dale.
And Mickey and Pluto, normally dressed as farmers.
Yeah, he's straight from the field, ploughing his crops.
I wouldn't recommend going there after doing drinking around the world because the place is literally spinning, so... might be a bit of a dizzy experience.
Yeah, it does. But very slowly, though. It's not going to spin you off. You're going to have been living with the land head first. So let's talk about some of your favourite things over at Walt Disney World then. In fact, as we're talking about food and restaurants and character dining, have you got one particular favourite restaurant?
As a small child, again, it has always been about Rainforest Cafe. That captured my imagination, has never quite let it go. But I went back earlier this month and I was kind of like, oh, kind of a bit generic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not quite how I remember it. So as an adult, there's the big restaurants that I love are Tutto Italia, where you get some incredible drinks and steak on the menu.
Yeah.
In Epcot, Epcot's Italy. And also we have done the California Grill. And that was such a different vibe from the rest of the world, where it's, you know, that crazy, in-your-face Disney. It was just an opportunity to be a bit more civilized, have amazing drinks. We were using the dining plan. You can sort of splash out. We were sort of talking, went for the $70 beef. And it's like, when on earth are you going to spend $70 on a main course?
Exactly.
It wasn't use on the dining plan.
Use 2 credit.
But also you get to have the fireworks going off, and it's so much more quiet than in the parks.
Yeah, I think some of the better restaurants are in the hotels.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's so much food out there. And I think food has become so much more of a reason to go to Disney.
Yeah, well, they have a food and wine festival about it.
Absolutely. And that is one of my things that you should definitely eat and go and experience, is eating around the world. And we spent an entire day. I think we arrived at Epcot about 12 and proceeded to walk the mile and a half around. We tried to eat around the world, but it quickly became eating and drinking around the world.
Yeah,
because of just what they have on offer.
There is so much. It's quite overwhelming, isn't it? And it's the flower festival that starts in springtime. Again, it's kind of like, have you done the Flower and Garden Festival?
I have, yes.
Yeah. Again, it's like a mini food and wine festival. In fact, there's probably just as many stalls, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. I think food and wine is probably the title they go with, because they have run out of other names to use around the year. It's such a good day, I think, with all the food, all the drink, everything you can possibly imagine.
Definitely put a day aside to, especially with just your childless millennials, then just have a day, just eat any way around the world. And I think you find more about the world pavilions as well, each country's pavilion. I think it forces you just to spend a little more time. You know, if you've got a drink, you go, oh, we'll have a look around this shop, or we'll have a look at this exhibition, where normally you might not.
And especially the ones that don't have rides, the pavilions that don't have bigger attractions, it's very easy just to sort of wander past and not go inside. My partner, for instance, has never actually been inside the Mexico pavilion.
Oh, right.
And never even realized the Three Caballeros are there.
Yeah, there's a boat ride in there.
And the beautiful Mexican market at twilight at all times of the day, which can be slightly disconcerting.
Yeah, it's always nighttime, especially if you've been in having too many tequilas.
Well, there's a beautiful frozen margarita stand with, I think, on our count, about 6 different kinds of frozen margarita. And if you can walk past that, you are a stronger human than I.
Well, there's a great margarita, the little bar inside the Mexican pavilion as well.
Ah.
La Cava de Tequila. When we did the live show from Epcot a couple of episodes back, we'd been in there. Anyway, back to you. Favourite attraction?
I have to go with Twilight Zone, Tower of Terror. It really is just quintessentially Disney, while having no real Disney IP in it. And I just can't quite get over it. It just makes me feel, it takes me back to all those times and all those memories. It's still as amazing as it was the first time I did it. It's that moment when the doors open and you can see out over the park. And if you're looking closely, you can see the peak of Blizzard Beach and all that other things around the world.
Yeah, you start looking out for things, don't you? You go, this is my moment. All right, what can I see?
Got to give honorable mentions, though, to Flight of Passage and Expedition Everest. Flight of Passage is, I think, a wonder of sort of modern engineering, the way they do it. And you literally sit there, and the way they make you feel like you're sat on the creature and it's breathing.
Yeah.
As you sit there. That's just spectacular. And Expedition Everest is probably one of my favourite roller coasters in the world. Just the feeling you get during the first backwards descent. Spoilers for anyone who's going on the ride.
It goes backwards.
goes backwards, and then you escape from the Yeti, which I think is really well done. I hadn't been on it ever before this trip. And we went on it and then go, oh, got to do that again. And then did that, and then got to go on it again. I think we did it 4 times.
So it must have been a quiet day then when you did that.
It was quite quiet. We have went in October, and I think October's quite a good time to go. It's still quite warm, quite rainy. It wasn't actually rainy season, but on the days we were in Animal Kingdom, it was quite rainy. And I think that was sort of suppressing the crowds quite a lot.
Good. So, let them stay in. We're British. We'll get a poncho and we'll rock on.
Indeed.
That's what we do.
Take advantage. We actually rope dropped Animal Kingdom one day. So we were there at 6:30. And it was during a torrential rainfall.
Oh, wow.
And we were just there in our ponchos going around. We walked onto Navi's River Journey. We walked onto the safari. We walked onto Dinosaur. We did everything by about 10 o'clock.
What did you think of Star Wars?
So we were there with the sort of phase one opening.
Yeah.
We were there for the initial opening, not for the opening itself, but just while Smuggler's Run was open. But I am not often speechless. And I sort of wandered in there. My partner was filming me, and I just sort of went, oh, it's real.
It's because you're a big Star Wars fan, or...
I am a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And also, it kind of merges perfectly with my interests. One being Star Wars, two being a theme park geek. So the sort of the level of immersion and world building there is sort of deepest I think I've seen. I think it is deeper than either of the Harry Potter worlds in Universal.
Yeah.
It is all encompassing to a level and a degree they haven't done in other parts of Walt Disney World, where it comes from the interactive games on the Disney Play app, the characters walking around and interacting with people. And if you want to make your day entertaining, force yourself into an interaction with Kylo Ren and the Stormtroopers. They will give you some serious stick. So that's quite good. There's also Chewie going around and Rey, who did... I couldn't quite get to talk to us, but was sort of roaming around and hiding behind bins.
I was going to say, she's probably always hiding because she's always looking out for the Stormtroopers. But I didn't get to interact with her, but I really, really wanted to say to her, look, Rey, best thing to do, if you go over there, go into Toy Story Land, they won't bother you with that. It'll be fine.
So we did the ride, obviously, in Galaxy's Edge, which is Smuggler's Run. We had a bit of a trauma with it, though. I say trauma. It's a really first world trauma. So we really struggled as a couple to get any other role than engineer.
Oh, right.
We had to queue up four times to get opportunity to do any other role.
Because what you really want is the pilot, which is where the two pilots that sit at the very front where you actually get to fly it. So did you get to do that?
We did on the fourth attempt. Our problems with the first three is we'd always sort of go and then you end up in a queue and they're trying to take the first people out of the queue, give them the cards, and then they go, you know, can we have three or can we have two? And there's a single rider line. So if there's a three, they'll take the person from the single rider line and then ask for a two from the people who've done the standby queues.
Right, okay.
But eventually we did get pilot. It was spectacular up front there. I think that is the best role. It was quite stressful. We did have...
Very stressful.
Four American teenagers who are like, we want to do a perfect run. Like, have you flown this before? Do you want us to be the pilots? I'm like, no.
No.
We've queued up four times.
Yeah.
I want to be the pilot. And then they got very sort of angry with us when we crashed it a couple of times.
What was your percentage? Because it gives you a percentage rating at the end. How did you get on? Can you remember?
I think we were at 86.
Oh my word, that's amazing. We were 20-something.
No, we did pretty well.
Yeah, because if you want to go up, you've got to pull it down. And then, but they tell you this just as you go in, but they tell you really quick. You're like, what did you just say? And then, you're just thrown into it.
It's actual flight controls. So you push down to go, So you pull up and it changes. But I've got to say, pulling the lever and jumping to hyperspace is one of my new favourite memories from any Disney park. And a top tip for anyone out there, if you get the opportunity to be the pilot, you want to be the right-hand side pilot because you're up in charge of up and down and jumping to hyperspace.
We'll chat some more because I want to find out about your planning system, which I think is probably the most extreme we've ever had on the podcast. Cam is with us on the podcast this week. Usually around this time, we check in the latest news from the parks from Walt Disney World, but as we are literally fresh into a few days into 2020, there's not been a lot of stuff to tell you. But I thought we'd just have a look at stuff that will be coming in 2020. Let's just have a look at a breakdown of the four parks and what we can expect over the next 12 months. First of all, over at Magic Kingdom, not a lot new. We're keeping our eye on Tron that is supposed to be open for 2021. Maybe it will open at the end of this year, who knows? But I'm expecting a lot of announcements over this year as what is going to happen 2021, particularly over at Magic Kingdom, which is going to be the heart of the Walt Disney World 50th birthday celebrations. There's rumours that the castle is going to be coloured rose gold for the anniversary celebrations. Also, maybe there's going to be some new attractions. They said there's going to be 50 new attractions for the 50th. We'll have a look at where Stitch meet and greet is at the minute. There used to be the Stitch attraction. A lot of people that say Wreck-It Ralph is going into there. So maybe some big announcements this year for new stuff that will be coming over to the Magic Kingdom. Not maybe massive things, but a few little enhancements. Over at Epcot, meanwhile, everything is going on over at Epcot. It's going to be like a bit of a building site over the next year or two. 17th of January, which is the first day of the Festival of the Arts, there's a lot of new things opening, including the Awesome Planet film at the Land Pavilion. The sing-along Beauty and the Beast opens on that day. The new Canada 360 film is opened. Also, later on this year as well, we are going to have Ratatouille maybe opening this year, definitely by 2021, and the new film over at the China Pavilion. Maybe some announcements about this Mary Poppins attraction that's coming. There will be new fireworks as well at Epcot later on this year. We've got the Epcot Forever at the moment, which have replaced Illuminations last year. That is only temporary. We know that Harmonious will be opening probably in the summer of this year. A couple of new restaurants to look forward to as well, including Dining in Outer Space. Space 220 should be open pretty soon, and the Regal Eagle Smokehouse over at the American Pavilion is going to be open pretty soon. Talking of new restaurants as well, Hollywood Studios is getting a new restaurant in 2020 over at Toy Story Land. The Rodeo Roundup Barbecue is going to be opening, and also something else to look forward to at Hollywood Studios in March, we will have the opening of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which looks spectacular. The Star Wars Rise of the Resistance that opened just a couple of weeks ago that people are raving about. I think this Mickey and Minnie attraction, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people. Nothing really new to look forward to over at Animal Kingdom. There's not a lot of change there, but maybe some announcements. There's always rumours that of an Indiana Jones land, which is going to take over Donald's Dino Land. So who knows? Maybe some announcements, a lot of things to look forward to this year in the theme parks. And not forgetting Disney Springs as well. We've got the brand new Cirque du Soleil show, which opens on the 20th of March. It previews from the 20th of March. The official opening night is the 17th of April. Cirque du Soleil drawn to life. For the first time, it incorporates beautiful Disney animation and those incredible circus skills down at Disney Springs. Don't forget, we'll keep up to date with any news and any announcements as they come. Make sure you're following us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are at PodMagical. With Cameron, who's sharing his memories and his top tips on this week's podcast. Now, Cam, tell me about your planning strategy. This is brilliant.
I have a self-colour-coding spreadsheet that you tell it which park you want to go to, and it gives you your fast pass options and your restaurant options.
Wow.
Which I have built for myself.
You built it yourself?
Yes. Well, I had time. But I don't subscribe to over-planning your days. Yeah. I sort of feel like you need to have an idea of what you want to do, understand how long you want to spend in each park, roughly, sort of a plus 180 days, so that you can then organise your restaurant bookings accordingly. So, for instance, Magic Kingdom, you're going to want to spend more time at than perhaps Animal Kingdom. And then you can plan your right restaurants for those right days to make sure that you've got enough spread, that you get to see everything. But then also when you get there, you can just be sort of fast and loose with it. And it comes back to my sort of theatre geeky days of sort of over-preparing and then going with the flow.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much to do, so much that could go wrong if you're trying to time yourself second by second by second.
Oh, yeah,
you're going to drive yourself crazy.
And everybody else.
Everyone you're with.
more everyone you're with first. And that's not fun.
So I do think it's about just knowing where you want to be on those days so you can get the very best reservations. And then the same with the fast passes. I use touringplans.com for fast passes, just as the guide to which fast passes you should prioritize at
right
time of the day. I don't subscribe to using touring plans every day, every second, because it really just can be stressful. And yes, you can save a lot of time with them, but I like to use them in really focused sections and like really busy parts of the day.
Yeah.
So that you can take advantage and queue as little as possible and make sure you get on sort of the best rides with the least amount of queuing, because you're not there to queue. You're there to see the best things, but also touring plans can be a little stiff. And if you're playing it by ear, you can, you know, spot a 10-minute queue at Haunted Mansion and speed off there, or decide that you want to stop off and have a drink, get a bit of a refuel, just because you're not marching yourself around.
Yeah.
And that sort of comes down to my sort of the wider approach as well. I think the way you do it and the way you have to do it is to understand who you're going with. So my two most recent trips to Disney have been very different. My most recent was with my partner, two 20-somethings who love the idea of doing lots of rope dropping and staying out late, getting up early. And then the one before that was a multi-generational holiday with my stepbrothers, my little brother, my grandmother, my mum, her partner, my aunt, her partner. And that is all very different. And what you can plan and do is very different depending on those groups.
Because
bigger groups move slowly. You've got different generations, different ages, different health conditions in terms of who can go on what, different height restrictions as
well. And nobody wants to eat at the same place. That's always a problem.
No. And you take all of that sort of complex nature anyway and then put it in Orlando, where it is high 30s, 40 degrees.
Yeah, 90 degrees.
At the minimum, 90% humidity. And everyone can do slightly less than they think they can.
Yeah.
Or at least they could probably in the UK. So it's just sort of understanding and being willing to adapt. So we went with a properly printed out plan, but we always knew that would chop and change. So for instance, on our last trip, even as 220-somethings, we realized we could not rope drop something and stay there the entire day. We would just dissolve into a sort of sweaty, unpleasant mess. So we changed our plans, ended up doing lots of rope dropping, but then leaving the parks for the sort of the hottest hours of the day, refreshing and going out and doing the parks till they close, where you get to see everything lit up and beautiful.
Yeah. Where do you prefer to stay then? You said the first time you went, you stayed on property. Has that been the case for every time you've been?
No. So I've stayed both on property and in villas. So, I think it depends on what you want to do. I love staying on property. I don't think there is a way to do Disney that's better than staying on property if you are a couple or a small family, because you are in that bubble. You have the Disney transportation, both from the airport and also all around the resort, the buses, the Skyliner, the monorail. That's all available to you. Even the boats, which are a stunning way of getting around, that's all available to you. You don't have to see the real world. You can
why would you
rely
want
on your
to?
Magic. Yeah, you can rely on your magic band to get do everything. And that is great. It also saves you, in my opinion, bits of money, because you don't have to rent a car.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay parking fees at the resorts or at the parks. But as for when we did the bigger family, there were 12 of us. And for that sort of holiday, you have to go with a villa. It just makes so much more sense, in my opinion, because you have the flexibility, you can spread out more, you're not four people to a room, or so you can put your kids to bed and then go downstairs and lay around the pool. You can separate more easily. So I think it really depends on who you're going with again on what you do. But if I'm going with me and my partner, I would always try to stay on property.
Yeah.
We did do the All-Star Music again 20 years after I was there the first time.
Had it changed? The pool hadn't changed.
pool hadn't changed. Not much else had, actually, I don't think. But I do have a long list of resorts that I want to try, sort of the values, the moderates and the deluxes.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much to try. One of my recommendations would be if you don't have the budget to go deluxe, because who does really, do have a look at the moderates and the values and their refurbishment schedules. Because if you want the best rooms with all the mod cons and lots of PowerPoints, they're the ones to look for, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The ones that have been recently redone, they have spent a lot of time focusing on trying to make everything more modern and as you'd expect. So I think you actually get really good value for money in, for instance, the value resorts that have just been redone and the value resorts that have just been refurbished. Arts of Animation is particularly good. They have something like 8 plug sockets designed at like charging levels specifically now, because people rate that as their most needed requirement in a Disney hotel room after a bed and a shower.
Yeah, well, you don't really need to take plugs anymore. All the things that you'll need to plug in are just, you know, just for your USB to charge phones.
And it's all there. They've taken that sort of modern idea of hotel making and they're refurbishing the value resorts slowly and the moderates as well. So I think you can find some very good rooms cheaper by doing that. After all, it's Disney. And if you are taking a slightly hardcore element to it, you're sleeping there and you're washing there and you're not doing much else in your hotel room.
Yeah. You literally crash at the end of the night and then wake up when your alarm goes off at 6 o'clock in the morning. Cap, yeah. It's been really good to catch up with you. Have you got another trip planned? Have you got your eye on going back?
We have our eye to go back in 2021 for the 50th anniversary celebrations. But apart from that, that's the plan. We haven't got anywhere else. We are looking to tick off a couple of Disneylands around the world in our bid to join the Six Castle Club.
Ah, right.
So we're thinking of doing Hong Kong, which, depending on the political situation, might be flexible. And taking the slow train through China to Shanghai and bookending a rather actual cultural trip with Disney at either end.
That will be interesting. How many of the castles have you done then?
So we've done California. We did a road trip last year and did Disneyland while we're out there. And done Paris multiple times. So yeah, I've been on the Disney Performing Arts program out in Paris a couple of times.
So. Oh, right. So what were you doing over there?
So I was part of a London-based choir that have I wouldn't say a deal, but an arrangement with and are part of the Disney Performing Arts Program. So we have performed on the Princess stage and also in the Hyperion Theatre as part of the Mickey's Christmas show, where you come down and we perform and sing with the characters on stage.
Oh, what? It's a dream come true, that is.
It really is.
Did you get a solo solo duet with Daisy Duck?
Not quite.
Oh, no.
A boy can dream.
One day. Work at it. Lovely chatting to you. And obviously now I've just got one thing to say, and that is, of course, have a magical day.
You too, Andy.
If you are heading over to Walt Disney World over the next few days, over the next couple of weeks, you'll still have kind of like the New Year crowds this weekend, but then people will go back to work on Monday. So you'll have a quiet week. A lot of people say, January is a really quiet month. Not necessarily, because the 8th to the 12th of January is the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend. It's a Run Disney event. They get really busy. So the first week in January may be pretty quiet, but then you can expect a busy week. And then the following week, the 17th, to January is Bank Holiday weekend. It's Martin Luther King weekend. So beginning of January, not always as quiet as you think. It's definitely nice weather. You can get beautiful, clear blue skies in January, although it's a little bit chilly, especially first thing in the morning and when it goes dark at night. But yeah, it's not a bad time to go if you can. Beginning of January, it's not a bad time. And then, of course, 17th of January is the first date for the Epcot Festival of the Arts that starts on that day. And there's quite a few new things opening in Epcot, as we mentioned before, the sing-along Beauty and the Beast and the new Canada film and the new Awesome Planet video over at the Land Pavilion. So January, people think it's quiet. There's stuff going on pretty much all year round now at Walt Disney World. If you are going, make sure you tag us in your photographs as well. We are at Pod Magical, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Andy's top tip of the week this week is do it twice, second time in the dark. There's a lot of rides that are just brilliant, but some of them are even better at night. I'm looking particularly at Big Thunder Mountain. Big Thunder Mountain is one of my favourite rides any time of the day, but there's something about it at night. Same goes to Slinky Dog. So when you're doing those fast passes, get two. There's probably some attractions. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is another one of those as well. Get one for maybe the morning or during the afternoon, but try and get another one at night and ride it at night. Top tip of the week this week is some of those big outdoor rides. Do them during the day, do them during the night. It's like a totally different experience. You got any top tips? Let me know. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. It really helps. It helps you because you never know when those podcasts are coming. Yes, we have a regular podcast every Friday, but we have some other sneaky ones in as well. And make sure you don't miss those just by hitting that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And until next week, please stand clear of the doors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.